Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I just come right now in Jesus' name, and I ask that you would give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. We pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, and that we would know the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance that you have for us, your saints, your children, your called out ones. I love you. Amen. This morning, we are going to talk about courage. Courage. Being courageous, having courage. We're gonna look at Joshua, if you will turn to the book of Joshua with me, Joshua 1. And we're going to read verses 5 through 11. Mine doesn't have page numbers on it. Sorry. But it should be early on. And they'll probably have it up there on the screen too. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. This is God speaking to Joshua. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. How do you like that? That's quite a promise, isn't it? I mean, if you think about all the ways that God was with Moses, I mean, from the very beginning with a burning bush, and all of the miracles he performed through Moses before Pharaoh, and leading the children of Israel out with the wealth of a nation. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and their shoes never wore out. They had dinner served to them every night. Quail, manna. I love that, manna. What is it? That's what manna means. What is it? What is it? And how he took care of them and he led them and he gave them water. He would open up rocks and bring forth water from them. They would cross over a sea on dry land. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. Is quite a promise. Joshua had been in the promised land before, 40 years before, and he saw giants, and he saw big walled cities, and he had no fear then. And he knew that if God was with them, they could go in and they could take the land. God is reminding him, no one can stand against you, because you know the first place they're going to go when they cross the river is Jericho, a great walled city. But I'm going to be with you just as I was with Moses. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is making him a promise. This is kind of like one of those covenant promises. Because here's Joshua's part. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. In other words, don't get distracted. Don't let what you're going into distract you. When I made a promise to you and I told you to do this and I said be strong and courageous and I'm going to be with you like Moses was with you, when you see the giants, be courageous. When you see the walled city, don't fear. Don't get distracted by their gods either. Don't turn to the right or to the left. You stay focused on me. Stay focused on what I commanded you through Moses. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. When Kathy was pregnant with Faith, we had lost our first baby at about 20 weeks, and we were devastated. And so she's pregnant with Faith, and I would hear her walking around, Kathy walking around, and she's kind of muttering. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm telling the baby what she is. I'm telling her how she's going to be. She's in the womb, and she's reciting scripture over her. So when she was born at 25 weeks, and she weighed 13 ounces, and the doctor said she's not going to make it, she was already making it, because it had already been spoken over her what was going to be. We had to be strong and very courageous. She's had to be strong and very courageous with some of the things she's been through since then. Recite it day and night. means to mutter, speaking it to yourself. Muttering, reciting to yourself. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. I like that. I like to prosper. I like to succeed. I don't like to lose. But if I lose, I get back up, because the righteous may fall, but every time they get back up. We might run into obstacles, hit the speed bumps of life, knock a tire off. Come on. But we get right back on and we keep going. For then you will prosper. When is then? When you keep the word always and you're reciting it to yourself constantly. Then you will prosper and you will succeed. When we forget and we don't keep the word, when we're not reminding ourselves of the word. See, I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. My spirit has been made new. My soul needs to be regenerated. It needs the word of God so that it can learn to prosper in the way that God sends it. Because prosperity doesn't necessarily mean, and I've said this before, Rolls Royce. Anybody want a Rolls Royce up here? No, you want a nice 4x, right? Prosperity means that you have enough to meet all your needs and some left over to help someone else. You will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Come on, be strong and courageous. If you've got God and he's going with you and you're a born-again, spirit-filled believer, you've got God on the inside. He's with you everywhere you go. So be strong and courageous. Keep the word ever before you. Be courageous. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He doesn't stay at home when you go someplace you're concerned about. I live up here and we've got bears. I go outside at night anyway. I give you a tip. Can I give you a tip? Yeah, with a flashlight and some noisemakers. Because you're smart about it. Because you're smart about it. Another thing that's smart to do is to put some ammonia on your trash can. Yeah, ammonia on your trash can at trash night. We do this every night. I've never had any trouble. Both neighbors on both sides of us and across the street have had trouble. I put ammonia on my trash every night when we put it out. Bears don't like ammonia. They will stay away from it. And then you don't have to use your snow shovel in the summertime to put trash back in your can and then wait another week to have it picked up, because the trash truck, they don't pick it up if it's all over the floor. Did they used to? Well, they don't know. Verse 11, go through the camp and tell the people, get provisions ready for yourselves, for within 3 days you'll be crossing the Jordan to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you to inherit. Get ready. Be courageous. God is getting ready to help you. God is going with you wherever you're going. Whatever you're going through, God is with you. When you're going through hard times, he's with you. When you're in the good times, he's with you. Wherever you go, be strong and be courageous. You don't have to be afraid. Come on, you can go up, you can walk up and talk to anybody about Jesus. It is so easy in the supermarket because people around here are friendly. They like to talk to others. My wife is the one that's like the most at that. Her name is Kathy. We call her Chatty Kathy. Because she'll go in, I'll send her into the store, and she's just going to get one item, and, you know, 20 minutes later, she comes out. Well, who'd you see? Oh, I saw so-and-so, and this person, and that person. Oh, and I was talking to this person in line, and, you know, I prayed for this person, and, you know, come on. Be bold, be courageous. When you go in, don't be afraid of what people are going to say or do. This is what Jesus said when he sent his disciples out. If somebody rejects you, get the dust off your feet. Go on to the next place. Don't take it personal. He said, if they reject you, it's only because they reject me. They rejected me first. Joshua is going to lead the people. First, they have to walk up to the river. It's a fast-flowing river. It's at the time of year when all the rain runoff is running through the river. It's flooding at the banks. Why that time of year? Because it would be easy during the summertime when it's drought. But now the waters are flooded. God is saying, let me show myself strong to you on your behalf so that you know as you cross over the Jordan River on dry ground that I'm making a way for you. Come on, the Waymaker. Do you see how I just did that, Chuck? The Waymaker. They're working on a song. It's called The Waymaker. Have you, anybody heard that song, Waymaker? Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper. Ooh, come on. I got that on my iTunes, Sinash. Oh, she's fab. If you don't have her, you need to have her. Isaiah 45:2 says, he goes before us and breaks down the mountains and removes gates. Isaiah 45:2. He goes before you and removes mountains out of your way. If there's something in your way, if you know that he's with you, he will move that thing out of your way so he can get you to where he's calling you to. If the mountain doesn't move, maybe you're not going where he called you to. Because he said, I'm going to make the way before you, and I'll get rid of the mountains, I will get rid of the gates, and I will make a way. Be courageous. I told this story before. Kathy was part of a church up in Alaska, and they built this new facility, and they didn't have enough parking, and there was this mountain. It was a mountain, a literal mountain. And they prayed about it, and they didn't have the finances to level it and excavate and do all the other stuff. And so this company comes in. They've been praying about it. This company comes in and says, we need a bunch of back dirt. Come on. They cleared out that mountain. God sent someone before them so that they could have a parking lot. Because when you build a church, you need to build a parking lot. Right? Because then you can have people come and park. God literally moved the mountain for them because they were seeking him and they were praying and expecting him to move on their behalf. We have to have courage and we have to keep his word. If we know that what he's called us to is what we're supposed to do and we're doing it, then he's going to move the mountains and he's going to make the way because he's the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. He says to take no thought. Come on. See, I think they're going to like that song, Chuck. He's the way maker. He says, take no thought what you eat or drink. Give no thought for that. The world is seeking after that. Man, in the political realm right now, I mean, it's just this battle. It's over all of these silly things and all of this, you know, not all of it's silly. Some of it is just, come on. And it hurts me. And all of this stuff that's out there. Because they're seeking to find something, and they don't understand that what they're seeking to find is him. And if they would turn to him, then all this other stuff that they think is so important, it'd go away. Jesus said, take no thought what you eat or drink. He said, look at the birds. They're not fighting with each other over places to eat and drink because their father, your father, provides for them. We need to be courageous. Oh, bird's not in fear. Just this morning, I got up and I was having my coffee and I went out on the deck and there's this little tiny Stellar Jay, just a baby, and it's on the deck. I know I can't touch it. I touch it, the mother won't have anything to do with it. The mother comes swooping down into the tree over there and she starts squawking. I thought, okay, lady. I got up, I went inside, and by the time I got inside to look out the window, the baby was gone. The mama came and took care of it. That baby bird, he just sitting there, not squawking, just kind of looking around, because he knows that mama bird is going to come. In the same way, when we're in the middle of something, and we're like, you're like that baby bird, and you're not in the nest, and mama's not around, and you're, don't be Snow White. You know how she's running in the woods and she just collapses in the middle of the woods and everything looks like it's evil and it's trying to get her. And she collapses in a pile of tears. Don't be Snow White. Don't be Snow White. It's not the end of the world. Be courageous. be Bel. Here, let my father go and I'll take his place. No fear. Courage. I don't say that there's lessons in all of the Disney movies. I don't believe that, but just right then and there, that seemed appropriate, didn't it? It's ridiculous to think that you can make yourself grow. That's what Jesus said. Do you think you can make yourself grow by worrying? It's ridiculous to think that. I can't. I want to be 6'2". I want to be 6'2". Then my weight will be appropriate. I want to be 6'2". 6'2". Now what I need to do is lose this and not worry about this, right? It's ridiculous to think that God isn't going to take care of us when we seek him too, isn't it? It's ridiculous to think that. If we know and if we've got courage that God has said he's going with us and that he's going to move mountains out of our way and he's going to cast gates down out of our way, then we need to just be calm in that. It's like when the doctor comes in and he says, she's not going to make it through the night. Oh, yes, she is. She's going to live and not die, and she's going to proclaim the glory of God. Come on. When we keep his word, we can be bold and courageous. Why? Because we're keeping his word. He said, if you'll keep my word and recite it and keep it before you all the time, then when you go, you'll have courage because you know I'm with you. Come on. Jesus is the word. For the word was in the beginning. And the word is Jesus. And Jesus is the word. He's the two-edged sword, able to divide between bone and marrow, spirit and soul, thought and intent. Jesus is the word. We have Jesus with us. What we find in him is healing. We can be courageous when we get a bad diagnosis. Isn't that right, sweetheart? We can be courageous. He is life. He is courage. He is the God that was with Moses. He was from the beginning, and he is today, and he will be forever. He never changes. Jesus is God. Jesus is the word that was spoken by God to Moses, and he said, keep my word ever before you. Mark 1. Let's go to Mark 1. We're going to start in verse 40. Now, preempt this with, in the book of Leviticus, there's an entire chapter dedicated to treating, understanding, and separating people with leprosy. They had to wear certain clothes. They had to shave their heads. They had to cover their mouths. They had to live outside the town. If they were in town, they had to shout, unclean, unclean, whenever anybody was around. They had to keep a distance from people. Then a man with a serious skin disease came to him and on his knees begged him. He was not allowed to be that close to anybody. What did he have? He had courage. Where did he get courage? Can I say, it doesn't say that he had heard about Jesus, but what do you think? He heard about Jesus. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, when she had heard about Jesus and was made no ways better, but only got worse, she went out. This leprous man came to Jesus. He got right up to him. I mean, he came courageously up to Jesus. If you are willing, you can make me whole. Not if you can, but if you are willing. This is the mentality of a leprous person, if you're willing. This is the mentality of somebody who associates more with their disease than with who they really are. He sees himself as a leper. Some people are divorced. They see them as the divorced person. I'm the widow. I'm the widower. I'm the cancer patient. No, you're not. You're more than that. You're courageous. You can do anything. You can do all things, in fact, through Christ who strengthens you. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. Do you think Jesus was worried about catching leprosy? No. He reached out and touched him and said, I am willing, he told him, be made clean. The man had to run around when he was in public. Unclean, unclean. Now he doesn't have to say that anymore. Clean. Immediately the disease left him and he was healed. Then Jesus sternly warned him and sent him away at once, telling him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses prescribed for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet, he went out and began to proclaim it widely and to spread the news, with the result that Jesus could no longer enter any town openly, but he was out in a deserted when he was out in deserted places, and they would come to him from everywhere. Jesus told him, "You keep the law that was given by Moses concerning leprosy. You have to go present yourself before the priest. You have to get a determination from the priest after several days of waiting and looking to make sure that you're clean from the disease." This man was courageous, though. He went around telling everybody, "I had leprosy and now I don't. I had leprosy and now I don't. Jesus healed me. I went and Jesus, he touched me. He was the first person to touch me. Jesus touched me and he made me whole." You know that song? He touched me. Come on. He touched him and made him whole. There's a song about that. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that fills my soul. Something happened and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. If you don't know that, it's probably because you never watched Katherine Kuhlman. Hey, lady, watch it. She said, "Or you're not as old as we are." But he's clean now. He's been made whole. Jesus, the Master, the name above all names, the King above all kings, touched him and made him whole. The woman with the issue of blood. We're dealing with laws here, because there are laws given by Moses that you had to keep. That leper broke that law, didn't he? Oh, well. We're going to meet somebody else who broke another law because she was courageous. The woman with the issue of blood. She had been bleeding for years, went to doctors. She was boldly seeking healing. When you're sick, go to the doctor. Expect Jesus to heal you. And if you're not getting better, go to the doctor. And she went to the doctor, and she just got worse, and she'd went through all of her financial resources. I'm going to tell you something about this, because she was made whole. She was made whole from her disease. She went out, because it says she'd heard about Jesus, and when she'd heard about Jesus, she went out in the crowd. She wasn't supposed to be out in the crowd. She's unclean. She's supposed to stay inside. She went out, and she found Jesus, and she said to herself, "If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." Jesus said, "I feel power go out of me." And the disciples are like, "This is Disneyland. There's 1,000 people here, right next to you. What do you mean, who touched me?" He said, "No, somebody touched me in faith." Come on. You touch Jesus in faith. And she was made whole of her disease. Whole is to be made complete, restored. It comes from the Hebrew word shalom, which means whole, nothing missing, nothing out of place, everything in its place, nothing broken, nothing missing. The story is very specific. She spent all that she had, but was made no better. Do you think that being whole includes her body and her finances? If she was made whole, somehow, and I don't know how, and I don't have to know how, but I believe that when she was made whole in every area of her life. Because you don't just get made whole in one area. You get made whole. When I got born again, I got a brand new spirit man. And he's not partway made whole. He's all the way made whole. And God's telling us, if we'll keep his word before us, that we're going to renew our spirit man, our soul man, our thinking, our way of thinking. And if we keep the word of God before us, our spirit man is, come on, our spirit is willing, but the spirit is willing, and the spirit wants to, but it's waiting on your flesh, it's waiting on your soul to start getting right. It's waiting for you to begin to recite the word and to keep the word before you, ever before your face all the time, so that you know where you're going and what you're doing, and so that you can hear from the Spirit of God when he speaks to you, and you can understand. And you, when he says, I want you to go and do this, and you go and do that, and he blesses you. That's part of being made whole. Because now you've got a whole right relationship, just like Adam and Eve had in the garden before they listened to that sneaky serpent. It takes courage when you're unclean to go out and do something you're not supposed to do. Both of them courageously broke the law of Moses concerning cleanliness. And God did not reject them. I'm not saying go out and break the law. It takes courage in your circumstance not to identify with the situation that's momentary, temporary, that's going to pass on. You might get divorced, but you're not the victim. Don't be a victim. Maybe you got mugged. Maybe somebody hurt you. Maybe somebody violated you. You are not that. Be courageous to come out and say, Jesus, I'm not that. I want to be made whole from it. You get a life sentence. You're going to die. You are not death. You are not that life sentence. Regina, multiple sclerosis, 15 years, 16 lesions in her brain. All gone. It didn't happen overnight. It happens as she went. It's still happening for her. My mom had multiple sclerosis. Your friend Kimmy had multiple sclerosis. All got healed from it. It's not a life sentence unless you think it is. Cancer is not a death sentence unless you think it is. Divorce is not the end of the story unless you think it is. Death isn't even the end of the story. Because if you die, it's just the beginning of your new life. Come on. Come on. And that's, Paul said, it's better for you that I'm here, but it's better for me if I'm there. Amen? Kathy and I always tell each other, no early flights home. Most of us, we go through life and we put on happy faces and we're struggling with different issues and we're bound up in fear and we don't want to confront something. We don't want to let people know that we're really struggling in an area. And really what we need to do, because we're the body and we're the anointed ones, is to confide in one another and say, I'm really struggling in this area and I'm having a hard time in this area, and tell somebody and let them pray with you, because you're not really trying. You're not really being courageous until you can be real with Jesus. That leper got real with Jesus, didn't he? The woman with the issue of blood got real with Jesus, didn't she? You get where you need finances. You got to get real with Jesus. What do I need to do to change the situation? How can I fix this? How can I fix this broken relationship? Jesus, I know only you can fix it. Be courageous. Nothing that happens today is the end of the story. Because even if you die, like I said, you're with him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Not the end of the story. Not the end of the story. Amen? Heavenly Father, I just ask right now that you would help us to be courageous and to keep your word ever before our faces. That you would cause us to be the children of God who walk in the fullness of God with the manifestation of your Spirit ever with us, presenting us and helping us, encouraging us. Come on, encouraging to be courageous. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, and I just pray right now, if there's anybody here and you're in need, Father, you look at them, and as they open up to you and become courageous to you, that you would help them. That you would encourage them and strengthen them, build them up, lead them into the things that they're supposed to do. Oh, Jesus. Jesus.